Yo, Nicole.
Hey, what's up?
What were you doing in the summer of 1997?
I was 8, going on 9.
Good. You're good at math. Great.
Which means you must have been...
I must have been 10. Damn, I was 10 years old when the movie we're talking about came out. Crazy. Okay.
You know, I can't remember exactly, but the hit movie of the year, at least in my mind, other than Titanic, I remember it coming out like it was yesterday.
Hold the phone. What?
1997 Titanic came out 1997
also. Oh, that's such a shame because I feel like this probably would have been the actual blockbuster.
Had it not been for Titanic.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, talk about a year of blockbusters, though.
Yeah, no, 1997 was pretty good.
Anything you want to confess in 1997?
That I loved Men in Black song and that I got all the little figurines from the drive-thru and the Happy Meal or the Burger King or whatever. Oh. And I played with them and they became part of like my collection.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the Men in Black song was good, so was the music video. I used to pretend to be the alien all the time and pretend like I'm dancing with Will Smith. And you know what? I'm actually mortified that I just told this to you. So I think it's a little time we do a little neuralizer action on you.
What were we talking about?
What were we talking about? Well, we're talking about how we're going to be talking about Men in Black.
We're going to be talking about Men in Black.
And Men in Black International.
And Men in Black International, which just came out.
Which just came out this weekend.
So, I'm Nicole.
And I'm Rolando.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast.
About unoriginality.
All right.
That's not neuralizing. We want them to remember this.
Hopefully, they might want to neuralize if they saw international.
Ooh.
Shade already dropped.
I love the shade. All right. So we literally just walked out of the movie theater, guys. This is how devoted we are to this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. This was like, usually this would have been a news episode. However, because this month we see a few remakes or revivals popping up. So we had to kind of like nix a news episode.
Yes.
Because we're still also celebrating Pride.
We are.
And we want to do a Will and Grace episode. So we have to squeeze this all in.
Spoiler, we're doing Will and Grace next week, guys.
We already told them. We mentioned that we're going to be doing Will and Grace.
True. Well, So
our true fans know.
Yeah. We're going to kind of put aside the Pride special for now, even though we could talk about how Will Smith should just come out already, but you know, that'll be another day.
Oh, he's gonna sue us. He's very litigious. Scientologists tend to be very, very
yes. Oh, yeah, that's why they're all in the closet. John Travolta, Tom Cruise, Will Smith.
Allegedly, can you just throw the word allegedly to protect us?
Allegedly,
thank you.
But, yeah, so we are here on time giving you Men in Black appreciation, guys. Okay, we all grew up with this movie, and they decided 22 years later that it needed a remake, reboot of sorts.
It's
revival.
I guess it's a revival. It's definitely a reboot of the franchise in the sense that because we don't have it's a reboot of the franchise because we don't have Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones in the new one.
We do not.
We see them referenced, but they're not in the actual movie. I guess Will Smith is finally too big on his britches, you know?
Yeah, he was just too busy with Aladdin.
Yeah, he's too busy being the genie.
In a revival of his own. Crazy. we also want to just preface that it's just us today. There's no Eddie, there's no Josh, there's nobody. It's just us.
Yes. Everyone is celebrating Father's Day, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, happy Father's Day.
It's happy Father's Day. Belated Father's Day if you're hearing this.
So, let's go back 22 years ago, a time that we were both alive for, and we kind of remember.
I can't believe that was 22 years ago.
I know, when I sat in the theater and I was like, holy crap. So in 1997, I was in probably third or fourth grade.
Yeah, 10 years old. If I was 10, I would have been just moved to Jersey. So I probably would have been, that means I'm fourth grade.
Fourth grade.
Not that our audience cares. I don't know. Yeah, I put a lot of thought into that.
Well, this is our youth we're talking about.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind, guys, okay? So this is going to be kind of personal for us, but not really. I'm just going to go down the list of the top 10 highest grossing films in 1997. Let's stroll down memories lane for a second, okay? So number 10 was The Full Monty. Did you ever see that movie?
Full Monty? Yeah, I've seen The Full Monty.
Yeah, that was a smash with the older crowd.
It was a smash for the older crowd. And like kids who were in the closet who might have seen some penis.
Yes.
Spoiler alert, there was no penis.
Yeah. It seemed to promise it, but it did not deliver.
Not that I wanted to see any of those guys' penis. That's the whole concept of the movie, right?
Yes.
They're like men that I want to see naked.
Mm-hmm. And this is why I still to this day have not seen this film.
It's a cute film.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. Number 9 is The Fifth Element.
Oh, that is a good fucking movie.
Yeah, this is a favorite amongst
many. I never want that movie to be remade. It's so good on its own.
Oh, that's something you like feel like they can't touch
they
that.
They can't touch that.
You know they're going to at least.
It would be fucked up beyond
but they're
going to
do a remake or something. I mean, not a remake, a sequel, I'm sorry.
I'm okay with a sequel. Mm. Right? And as long as Bruce Willis and Mila Djokovic are in it, okay.
Ryan Gosling's going to be in it.
Imagine. He doesn't have... No, because you need someone who's not like a serious actor, but... It has got to be someone. Well, I guess Ryan Gosling can be like, he can be funny.
He's actually a perfect.
He actually might be a good match. You know what? Good job.
Yeah. You're cast this movie.
Yeah, you're selling me on this idea for
Fifth
Element.
It's called The Sixth Element. All right, so number 8 was My Best Friend's Wedding with Julia Roberts back when she was America's Sweetheart.
Yes.
And the film debut of Cameron Diaz.
Oh.
At least one of the film
debuts. No. Wasn't The Mask?
Okay, so the second debut of Cameron Diaz. I quite liked my Best Friend's Wedding.
I don't know. I've never seen it.
It's very good. I think you should see it. Just because it's also like Julia Roberts is not a very good character, but she's the lead. And I like this raw.
Isn't this a story about like her trying to break up a wedding?
Yes.
As someone who's about to get married, I don't want to watch movies about people trying to break up a wedding.
Let alone your best friend.
Yeah.
Who's clearly in
love
with you.
Who I would not trust. Now I don't trust my best friends. Thank you.
Yeah. 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 Don't trust anyone, Rolando. Men in Black also proves that.
They're all kicked out of my party. Yeah.
So number 7 was Liar Liar with Jim Carrey.
Oh, another good movie. Man, 97 has some fucking dope movies.
I mean, for us too, this is like we said, this is our youth, so memory lane right here. Yeah, I remember seeing Liar Liar.
It's good though.
Yeah, it holds up.
Yeah, that one does hold up. That Sexism was like one aside,
yes.
It's a fucking good movie. Like, this is a very, very strong performer for Jim Carrey.
This is true. I clearly have not rewatched this film in a long time, so I didn't even think about that. So I don't think I want to. I just want to keep it funnily in my head.
No, yeah, it is sexist as hell. But it's so good.
I think this is one of the last things before, like, Jim Carrey kind of fell off being, like, the funniest man on the planet.
Okay. I don't know Jim Carrey's full history, but let's not forget, though, that he did do Eternal Sunshine.
Yeah, but that was a drama.
It was like a dark comedy.
Like,
I would say.
True. Well, I mean, it wasn't a movie that like needed Jim Carrey's comedy to like helm
that's
it.
True, that's true. That's true.
Okay, moving on. Number 6 is a movie I really like, As Good As It Gets.
As Good As It Gets.
With Helen Hunt, Greg Kinnear, and Jack Nicholson.
Okay, I always confuse that one with the other one that Jack Nicholson did with Diane Lane. Something's gotta give. I confuse those two movies all the time.
Diane
yes,
Keaton.
Yes.
That's why I was like, he never made a movie with Diane.
Damn it, all the time. Diane Keaton.
Okay, yeah. Oh, I see why. Yeah, it's easy to get those two movies because they're also just both like older people comedies. Yeah. But I think As Good As It Gets, it's like, again, he's a despicable guy.
Yeah, it was an Oscar contender.
And it was, But anyway, okay, moving on. Number 5 is Air Force One.
Oh my God!
With
wow.
Ford.
Okay.
Yeah, I never saw that actually.
No. Oh, that's a good movie.
I mean, when an 8-year-old girl didn't
that's
get
a
taken
good
to go
action
see
movie.
Air
Come
Force
on,
Ford.
You're talking about like the greatest line: "Get off my plane." And then he punches the Russian.
The Russian.
Yeah, it's like it's America versus Russia here
again. My God.
Again, Trump did not watch Air Force One. Because I feel like if this was our president now, things would play out very differently. He'd be there plotting with them.
True, yeah. Because we are very much America versus Russia again. Okay, so number 4 is Tomorrow Never Dies, a James Bond movie.
Tomorrow Never Dies. Is that the one where Madonna did the theme song for
No,
it?
That's Die Another Day. Okay. Tomorrow Never Dies, Sheryl Crow did the theme song
is
for
Is that
it.
The one with Halle Berry?
No, that's Die Another Day.
Oh, Halle Berry was in Die Another Day?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Tomorrow Never Dies actually has two girls in it, as far as... I'm pretty sure two girls. Yeah. It has Michelle Yeoh and Terry Hatcher.
Oh, Terry Hatcher was a Bond girl?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that. Our Desperate Housewife. Oh, yeah, she's in the cover. All right.
Yeah. I just saw this movie once when I watched all the James Bond movies in order. It's harmless. Number 3 is our beloved Men in Black.
Wow, number 3. Uh-huh. So what's number 2? We know number 1.
So we know number 1. And if you don't know that number 1 is Titanic, I mean, then number 1 is obviously Titanic.
Yeah.
But number 2 was The Lost World, Jurassic Park. Another film that got revived, sequel.
As of late.
Yeah, and my roommate Roy, who's also a good friend of all of ours, thinks that one of the greatest scenes in a movie ever is from The Lost World Jurassic Park.
What?
When they're in the car and it's turned over and they're like against the glass and they're about to like die essentially. He thinks that's the most suspenseful, well done action scene he's ever seen in a movie.
Wasn't that in the Wait, no, that wasn't the original.
I don't know.
We'll have to double check that.
We'll have to double check. Yeah. Because you get things mixed up too. But I haven't seen the Jurassic Park.
Excuse me. I get names mixed up, okay?
So, true. So, essentially, we want you guys to know that this is like, we hope you remembered half those films with us and had a little nice stroll along memory lane.
Yeah, 97 apparently was a good fucking year for movies.
It was a good year.
And I as we'll talk about with Men in Black, but like, if you notice, like, how much of that movie relied on a lot of heavy CGI. I think we're seeing we're about to enter that time, you know. Yeah, we're only a few years away from, like, seeing, like, full CGI. Because even Titanic was practical.
Yes, yeah. They were. Yeah, I remember seeing the making of because mm-hmm. everybody saw that. And I know that Men in Black, their stuff was done by Industrial Light and Magic.
Yes.
So, which is not technically CGI.
No, right. It's practical effects touched up with CGI. It's not to say that they were exclusively non-CGI, but...
They actually interacted with people that they could, like, know how to interact so it's with, a lot which of is like, not what they do today.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Cool. So, Men in Black came out in 1997, as you know. The director of this film was Barry Sonnenfeld. He directed the first two Addams Family movies.
Oh, all right. Well, good for him.
And then the very next year, I think, he also did Get Shorty in 95. So, Addams Family 91, Addams Family Values 93, Get Shorty 95, Men in Black 97, Wild Wild West in 1999.
Is that when his career ended?
And that is when, yeah. And everything he's done is either a sequel to Men in Black or RV.
Poor, poor guy.
Yeah.
RV.
With Robin Williams.
Oh. And we're bringing up Robin Williams third week in a row, basically.
Third week in a row, yeah. We love you, Robin. But so, Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones.
As Agent K.
Uh-huh.
And Will Smith at the height of his freaking fame. Like,
wait, is it the height?
I mean, come on. Like, his album, Get Jiggy With It, and all of that came out at least a year or two prior.
Oh, man. Get Jiggy With It. Fuck yeah. It. Getting Jiggy With It. Miami.
Miami's. Oh, yeah. Getting Jiggy With It. Miami. Just the Two of Us. Like, mm-hmm. all these hits he had. He was in an Independence Day before that.
Yes.
And he was like, well, that this was like.
This was like, Independence Day was like the first blockbuster. Then it was like, became every summer was like a new blockbuster from Will Smith.
Yes.
If I remember correctly.
I think like, so. Well, like, what was 98?
I think it was Wild Wild West, wasn't
it? No, that was 99.
Oh, what would be 98?
I'm going to look
it up. Was it Bad Boys related?
Oh, yeah. Bad Boys was also out too, but no. Bad Boys came out in 95.
Could have been Bad Boys 2.
Could have been Bad Boys 2 came out in 2003.
Oh, well, I don't know my Bad Boys history. Sorry, guys. Okay.
So, yeah, so that's what it was. It was Bad Boys in 95, Independence Day 96, Men in Black 97, then Enemy of the State in 1998.
Oh, which is an underrated movie. It's not a good movie, but I think it's underrated.
It's forgettable.
Yes, I'll give you that.
Yeah. And then Wild Wild West in 1999, which is sadly a very unforgettable movie.
Which I think was the one that kind of... I think it still made a shit ton of money, though.
It did, of course.
Yeah, because it was Will Smith.
Yeah, and then, everyone loved the song.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good song.
But you know what's a better song?
You do not say.
The Men in Black song.
No.
It's a way better song. No. I think so. No,
I think the Sisqó song is way better because it has a way better hook. I do love...
Because it's Stevie Wonder.
Fair. I do love the, I like the music video for Men in Black more so than I like the music video for Wild Wild West. Wild Wild West was a little too gaudy, right? Mm. Where the Men in Black music video was a little more like they were just in the bunker, and then you have like the CGI monster alien. He's not a monster alien. He's the alien dancing with him, right?
Yes.
It's a good sequence.
And this was also we watched this music video before we recorded today. Mm-hmm. And we'll put a show link for you to rewatch it.
Oh, absolutely.
It.
You must.
You really should.
You know what? Just pause right now. Just go watch it right now.
Yeah, we'll wait.
Yeah, we're going to wait.
I'm glad you went and watched that, guys. This was also back in the day where like movies had songs attached to it, essentially. You know, like that was like part of the thing that sold it.
Yeah.
And that you went on TV and you watched it and you like went on Total Request Live, if that was a thing yet.
That was a thing. Yes.
All these things around music videos, and music videos was just such a selling point, and they always had like the movie promotional.
Yeah.
Like really heavy in there.
Yeah, so, no, absolutely. Like Titanic had My Heart Will Go On.
Which was another big smash of that
year. And it's just her singing on the boat.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally just cutting with, like, footage from the movie.
Yep.
That's, like, that was, like, always a formula for these, like, music videos. It was always just, like, your main singer singing and then, like, cut up with, like, footage from the movie.
No one. And these things, they just aren't kind of, like, around anymore. I don't think the new Men in Black has a song with
it. No, it doesn't. Shamefully so.
Yeah.
I think, you know what? It's funny, right? As I was, like, rewatching... I was like, well, you know, when we were watching the music video, that's one thing I complain about, right? It's the fact that, like, new movies don't have, like, a single anymore.
Yeah.
That, because sometimes it can be completely awful, but sometimes that awfulness helps offset how bad the movie can be and makes it just a little better somehow, yes. some way. That makes sense.
It does make sense. Well, I digress. So we're talking about Men in Black.
We are talking. Yeah, we really talk about the 97. We got a little nostalgic. Sorry, really guys. We try not to do that, but it's hard with 1997, apparently.
In black, remember that, just in case we ever face to face and make contact. The title held by me, MIB.
But this movie is essentially about the fact that there have been reports since, like, I guess the 40s, that there are men who dress all in black and like look like businessmen who come in and talk about alien experiences, and then they just, like, they're really mysterious. They just vanish. Nobody ever sees them again. They, like, some people even think that the Men in Black aren't really humans. So if, like, research the actual Men in Black, and that there's this one time that they got caught on a surveillance tape, and there was like, these guys, like, visited us, and they looked weird, and their eyes were dark, and, like, all this stuff. And so there's actually surveillance footage of these Men in Black.
Okay.
So somebody took that kind of weird history that we all share in, like, our heads, this mythology, and they created a movie out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the moment Will Smith got attached, it kind of took on a different route.
You think it was supposed to be, like, a serious...
Maybe. I'm sure. Know. It's kind of like how Sister Act was supposed to be, like, a serious movie. And then they
Sister Act was supposed to be serious?
Mm-hmm. And then they got Whoopi Goldberg involved, and it became like a musical, essentially.
I can't imagine that movie.
How does that movie get pitched?
How do you make that a serious movie?
I mean, well, someone taking refuge from her mob boyfriend is actually...
In a nunnery?
In a nunnery, yeah.
I can't imagine that being serious. It sounds very farcical.
That sounds actually like my worst nightmare.
It sounds like a good time.
Sounds like a horror movie. I think once certain directors, maybe, or when they realize, you know, oh, we can make this a star vehicle, then it kind of takes a different form. So this is a very lighthearted film, even though it's about, like, a secret society of people who are in charge of keeping, like, kind of alien under wraps and keeping us ignorant.
Yes.
And it kind of, like, embraces that there is all these conspiracy theories and countercultural ideals are true.
Mm-hmm.
But it also kind of, like, judges it up and makes it very silly.
It's an absurd comedy.
Yeah.
There's absurdity in it, but it's, like, a wonderful kind of absurdity.
I think
it's very charming.
It is. It's farcical.
Yes.
And it's kitschy.
Thank you for taking my word.
Yeah. You're welcome. But it works. So this film, I don't even know where to begin. Should we tell them a plot outline?
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, we'll give you a quick synopsis of it. Which is...
Two agents.
Yeah, Tommy Lee Jones, who plays K, and then Will Smith, who's playing Jay. Jay is recruited by K to join the Men in Black, and once they're in the Men in Black, they end up but one of the main crimes that's going on is that Vincent D'Onofrio, who's like a giant roach monster, is trying to steal a galaxy. I don't remember now what the thing is, but the galaxy is basically your MacGuffin in this movie.
Yeah.
And I think that's very common for all these Men in Black movies. There's always a MacGuffin.
Refresh our audience's collective. What is a MacGuffin?
Oh, a MacGuffin is any device or person that is of extreme value to, like, the characters, even though we as the audience don't really know.
Yeah, and it's like, it could be anything. They really want it, and we want them to get it too, even if we don't understand that.
Even though I had no idea why I don't remember why Orion's belt was so important, but apparently it was important.
Yeah.
It has a galaxy in it. But the roach monster is trying to steal Orion's belt. Will Smith and Kay are trying to... Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones are trying to figure out where Orion's belt is. When he figures out it's on a cat, I'm really muddling the story, I feel like.
That's
but
totally right.
They save the cat, and they... what's it called? But then the monster tries to get... Anyway, the point is that... What's it called? They save the day. They save the world from the universe's scum, which
they
I think
do.
Is the tagline.
They save the
Protecting
world.
Protecting the world from the universe.
From the scum of the universe.
Thank you.
Yes, that's the tagline. I distinctly remember the poster, even, being in, like, my local movie theaters. Yeah.
Men in Black. Protecting the Earth from the scum of the universe.
You know how to use these things?
No idea whatsoever.
I think Men in Black 2's poster I liked more.
Yeah, there was like more like, closer.
It was just more closer. It was just like the twos were to two eyes. Uh-huh. And then like Will Smith was that one. It looked like lights. Okay. Basically, right? And Tommy Lee Jones on the other. But the design for the Men in Black, I don't know. It's a clean and simple design if you think about it, right?
It is.
It's just like usually just like them in suits.
Yeah.
And like a very nice clean background.
Yeah, I wonder why this movie was such a, like, it's a popcorn movie.
It is.
It's really short. It's like an hour and a half.
Hour 37?
It's Will Smith is Will Smith in this movie. You know, it's if Will Smith became a secret alien hunter, yeah. Essentially.
It's like, yeah, if you took the Fresh Prince and then threw him into this world. Yeah. Basically, that's what we got.
He's full with, like, quick remarks.
Yeah, it's so funny. I think when I was watching it with Eddie and his reaction was just like, man, I forgot how, like, ghetto Will Smith tries to act.
Yeah.
And I think that's the important thing that we have to remember with Will Smith, because
he wants to be relatable. And that's how he got famous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So he has to like hold on to his roots, his like Fresh Prince roots, mm-hmm. essentially, because it was such a smash.
Yeah, for sure.
I think we underestimate how huge it was.
Fresh Prince itself?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's like one of those underappreciated gems. Like no one talks about it enough, but it's so good. I actually will still watch The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air if it's on. Yeah. I could actually still sit through a whole episode. They haven't aged terribly.
They haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. So I think that's why Will Smith, like even up until Aladdin, he's like still trying to hold on to those things.
You know, he has another movie coming out called Gemini.
What the hell is that?
I don't know. I saw a poster. It's like young Will Smith on one side and then older Will Smith on the other. It's directed by Ang Lee.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know anything about it though.
Fancy.
If it's a remake, guys, by all means, email us and let us know.
Okay.
All right.
But yeah, so at the end of the day, this is top Will Smith popcorn movie, really enjoyable. My biggest memories of this movie, I remember seeing it in the theater. I remember really liking it. But my sister, she would always, we were big, like plop ourselves in front of the TV. We still kind of are, and just like watch stuff, especially when we ate.
Oh.
And she would always make Elio's pizza and she would watch it. And I'm like, you're disgusting. This Vincent D'Onofrio character, like that is just so gross and Vincent full of D'Onofrio's slime.
Character is
and
gross.
You're eating something very saucy, like to me. So I just, it's like watching the time that I made the mistake of eating pizza while watching Hellraiser. Sometimes I have these, like, it's so embedded in me, Elio's pizza with Men in Black, because it just, now it just grosses me out.
Yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio's character used to frighten me or disturb me, I guess, would be more so it, right? Because it was like, he was just like this tight skin and then like just ill-fitting skin.
Yeah, he plays an alien.
He plays an alien.
Who takes in the skin of somebody else.
Yeah, he's like a roach alien too.
Yeah.
Which is the other thing, right?
It's so disgusting.
It's gross. Now, I think, and, you know, smart for the film to like use, you don't see the alien at its full form until the very, very end for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But one of the more gross out factors they have was they're constantly using real roaches. And I remember that. And I'm that's my biggest fear. Like roaches.
This movie was really big on gross out stuff.
Yes.
They get covered in slime a lot, like roaches, just like playing with like body dysmorphia to like creep you out. They did this, like there's this one gag where this man, his wife is giving birth in the backseat, but I guess she's giving birth to an alien.
Mm-hmm.
And so Tommy Lee Jones like takes him out and they're like left center camera in the frame. And then in the back on the right in the background, so in the foreground is Tommy Lee Jones on the left of the frame, and then you see Will Smith getting carried by this like
tentacle
alien, like tentacle, and just like ripping them out. So it really goes for like humorous kind of thing, and like more, I would say also there's like a lot of rednecks in this movie, and even Tommy Lee Jones himself is like more southerner.
Yeah, that's so funny that you should mention that, right? Well, keep in mind New York State is pretty big.
Yeah,
I mean, up once you start going up
in
to northern New York, like it could get a little red.
It can get very hicky. Yeah.
Sorry guys, no offense.
I'm sorry. Don't hate us. We're New York people. New York City people.
Thank you.
But it's so just like surprising, like rewatching it, that was really what it was embracing, and it was very kitschy on that level. So kind of like gross out and very body humor.
Yes.
Which is really different from the new one. But we'll get to that in a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So rewatching this movie, you know, were you surprised at how well it held up, or were you just like kind of rolling your eyes at the 1997-ness of it all?
No, I think like the most 1997 moment comes from when they have the montage of like aliens. Right? Because those references could be a little more dated, like those celebrities of back then, even though I think we still know. Well, I don't know. Maybe younger generations have no idea who like what's his name? The basketball player with the colored hair. Rob.
Magic
not Magic Johnson.
Oh, Dennis.
Dennis Rodman. Thank you. Dennis Rodman, for example. Like, at the end, that was one of his jokes. That was one of the jokes. It was just like, oh, Dennis Rodman's from that planet. And she's, you know, her reaction just like, oh, he's an alien? That's not really a good disguise.
Yeah.
Outside of those references, the movie itself still feels pretty fresh, I think.
Yeah.
I was rewatching. I was like surprised at like how much I was still enjoying the movie. I don't think it was nostalgia, because there are movies that I could watch from, you know, my early childhood and then like not really, they don't resonate.
Yeah.
But this one, I think, is just like, it's just a strong performance between Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith. Like, they had good chemistry together.
Yes, they did. Yeah.
And Tommy Lee Jones's version of a straight man was actually, I used to remember it being like a lot more staunchier, like he was a lot more rigid, but he was actually a lot more sassier when I was rewatching this, realizing it's just like, oh, he's kind of sassy.
Yeah.
It's like a good, he's like for sure a straight man, but like he's a sassy straight man compared to Will Smith's like witty, quick to the trigger kind of mentality. So yeah. it was a good chemistry.
Definitely. I also liked, one thing that I found really, I forgot about, was the woman who's like the medical examiner, yes, that later on joins, and like no sexual chemistry, a little bit of flirting, but like no real sexual chemistry between them. So she was just like an equal.
The flirt tease is so good though.
Yeah.
It's when she's trying to, you know, you have Vincent D'Onofrio there. He's hiding under a table holding her hostage, right? And she's just like, you have to see something. It's like, you have to see something. So Will Smith is thinking he's talking about her. She's talking about her vagina. He's just like, whoa, slow down. All right, but I just, you know, we'll do this, but I want to drive. And it's just so funny, right? Because as soon as the reveal is that there's a monster hiding under there, like, she's just calling him out. It's like, why does every fucking man think that the moment a woman shows sexuality, it's just like, she's complaining already about like the toxic masculinity.
Yes.
So yeah, no, there was absolutely no sexual chemistry between them, just a flirting.
Yeah.
And then she becomes an agent.
And it's a shame, because they really hinted at that she would be a big part of the series, mm-hmm, and she gets to the equal and they just dump her in the sequel.
I don't even think she showed up in the sequel.
Nope, not at all. Because, you know, I mean, does anyone really remember the name Linda Florentino, first of all?
Oh, no. Is she dead? Maybe that's why.
I just think that she's just...
is no longer in the movies because he's dead. Because
he's dead, yes. And Tommy Lee Jones is no longer in them because he doesn't give a shit.
No, he did not give a shit by number three.
Yeah, so there are two sequels to this movie. Men in Black 2 in 2002 and Men in Black 3 in 2012.
Yeah, oh, wow, 2012.
A long time.
Yeah.
And I think that even the sequel for Men in Black 2 took a long time, because I think by 2012...
It was like a long gap between...
Yeah, 2002, people didn't really care.
Oh, maybe that wasn't that long, I guess. Oh, five... That's 5 years, right?
Yeah.
That's still a pretty long gap.
Yeah, it is.
There was a successful TV show on CW. It might have been WB at the time.
Okay.
It was an animated show. Never seen it?
No.
No, it was actually pretty good. The animation style was a little weird. And the memories I have of this animated TV show was it was a lot drier in humor than the stuff CW would play, which is, think of Animaniacs, Tiny Toon Adventures, right?
Oh, yeah.
All that comedy is like very slapstick comedy.
Yeah.
The Men in Black sitcom was a lot drier in its humor.
Huh.
And the animation style was super weird. I'm going to, in the show notes, we'll throw a link to like the opening sequence, because it had actually a good sound design for the opening animation.
Well, do you remember also there's a ride? This movie was such a smash that there's a ride in Universal.
Yeah, it's like you shoot aliens, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like the Buzz Lightyear
alien
ride
attack.
Which is fun.
Yeah, so there's a ride. There's a TV show. There's all these sequels. And now there is a revival. So it's a big franchise.
Yes.
And but it's been 22 years.
22 years since the original one.
So now this new Men in Black, which is called Men in Black International, it's gone international.
Right.
Which
makes sense. Men in Black would be international, but
it would. Yeah. So now we get to see it on a global scale, because we really just stuck to the tri-state area essentially in the first Men in Black, and we're not going to talk about the other two.
They also stuck to like the New York City area. So yeah, the other two.
So we don't spend any time in New York in this new one.
No, that's not true. The beginning.
In the very beginning. Like,
you know, we see her origins, portrayed by Tessa Thompson. Thank you.
But yeah, so 22 years later, do the Men in Black still hold up?
Well, you're about to find out.
Right now.
We are a rumor. Recognizable only as deja vu and dismissed just as quickly. We are the best kept secret in the universe.
I know. I want in. You erased my parents' memories, but you didn't get mine. To
took me 20 years to find you. How many people can say that? I found you.
We did just see this movie. Actually, since we just saw it, like, real quick, what did you think?
I did not like it.
Okay, I agree with you. I actually don't think it was good at all.
I don't think it was
good. I'm actually very upset, too, because I think Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth,
they have good chemistry.
They have good chemistry here. It wasn't as good as they had the chemistry in Thor Ragnarok, which feel that's the reason why they were casted together, right? Thor Ragnarok was such a smash, and their chemistry was so good. Here, I'm not blaming them. Their chemistry still shines. It's just the writing was not good.
It was terrible.
All right, so now let's go back. Let's talk about Men in Black International.
So Men in Black International is about Tessa Thompson's character, whose name is Molly, but they abbreviate her to Agent M. Yeah. So Liam Neeson's in this. Emma Thompson's in this. Chris Hemsworth's in this. Tessa Thompson. Who else was like a
Emma name? Thompson was in this?
Yeah, she was the woman, the head of the New York division that hired
that
her.
That was Emma Thompson?
That's Emma Thompson.
Oh, I had no idea that was Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's why I just made the remark when I saw her on Date Night. I'm like, she's in everything right now.
That's so funny. I actually hadn't, I couldn't put two and two together when you did that. I was just like, all right, I guess she's in everything, sure.
Yeah, she's literally in a lot these days. So that was her. And Kamali Nanjiani played a character called Pawnee.
Yeah, he was from Twilight Zone as a comedian, which we talked about on the Twilight Zone. So check out that episode too, guys.
Yes. And the woman who played RZA was Rebecca Ferguson.
I don't know who she is, but you know what? Her hair was on point. Kudos.
She was hot. Yeah. I could see why he fell for her.
Yeah.
She was hot.
She has three arms too. Imagine all the sexual things you could do with three arms.
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, putting that on pause. So this one is about a girl named Molly who grew up with already an interest in the universe.
Right.
Like, apparently at 8 years old, she's reading this book about the universe.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Okay.
Yeah. Which is also like a little heavy handed.
Sure.
And then
she finds an alien.
Her parents find an alien. The Men in Black visit the parents and they don't bother to go see the girl who's sleeping because, you know, anything can happen. And the alien is actually in her room. So they come, but they don't do anything about it. Like, way to even search for this alien.
Well, this book, it said 1998, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so 1998, like, Will Smith. Oh, Kay had already retired in 1998. So clearly the Men in Black are just like now just lax.
They just, yeah, they don't know what's going on anymore. They have lack of guidance, all of this stuff. So they just don't do a good enough job. She doesn't get neuralized. She watches her parents get neuralized, and then she lets the alien go free.
Right. Spoiler.
So all the people that died at his hands are her fault.
Okay.
Since that was...
I'm going to go, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, Men in Black International. If you're planning on watching it, you might want to just wait until you've seen it to like listen to this part. But all right, let's go.
So she spends her whole life knowing that out there there's a secret society that deals with aliens, and that's literally what her life becomes. So for 20 years, she, you know, studies and aces all the tests to enter the FBI and the CIA. And she's like, no, I don't want to be with you guys. I want you guys to wink, wink, hire me for the other division. And nobody has any idea what she's talking about.
And they think she's crazy. I thought that was a cute sequence.
Yeah, that was all right. But somehow she also is like able to track down alien movements and stuff. So whatever.
By breaking into like the Hubble telescopes, hacking into it.
And so she comes across them. So she tries to con her way into the Men in Black headquarters in New York, but she doesn't. And she gets found out. Emma Thompson reveals herself and she just wants to neuralize her, but she talks her way into not being neuralized and saying, hey, actually give me a chance. Look at my records. Mm-hmm. This is my life. I'm a fucking loser.
And then they give her the job.
They do. And then they're like, all right, this is your test. We're just going to send you to London and, you know, figure that out yourself.
I was actually kind of upset, though, because I remember one of my favorite scenes from Men in Black was the actual test takings.
Yes.
Right. Where he has to like figure out how to like take the actual test on paper. Right. And I think some people think it's one of the best gags of the movie is where he's like scraping that large, heavy metal table.
Yeah.
I think it's funny. My favorite gag was actually when he's doing the target practice. And he shoots at the white girl. He's just like, obviously, in this whole sea of monsters, she's the most suspicious one.
Yeah.
They all fit in. So it's just like, it's just funny.
Yeah, they didn't do any of that.
Show us any of these tests. She was just like, we get the scores. Mm-hmm. And then she just like approved. And that's it. I was just like, oh my God, you guys missed the one chance here.
Exactly. So they don't spend any time showing how she kind of earns it. They just show her enjoying the fruits of her labor.
Mm-hmm.
So like she gets on a subway. that like apparently looks like a subway and then turns into a spaceship.
No, yeah. It's like a high-speed subway.
High-speed subway. Well, so whatever. So there's just so many plot holes. Like,
they're not plot holes. It's just like...
No, there's so many... Just like, what's the word?
Time manipulation.
It just doesn't make any sense is the thing, though. Like, she gets... she goes on probation.
Yes.
Alone. Nobody guides her. Just, you know... Have fun.
Emma Thompson, throw her to the wolves. Emma Thompson is just like, you know what? You're going to like die.
They're just
anyway.
Hoping that
just
she's like, going to die. Like,
go.
You're defending the movie, Rolando.
I'm just saying, it's just like, I would have called. There were bigger plot holes to be had.
Yes, there's.
Getting her to
ones,
London,
but...
I'm okay with because they're just trying to get there.
Well, whatever. So she gets there, and apparently she already like knows who to tell her to take all her calls. And she goes and like studies Chris Hemsworth, who she already knows is the rock star of the place.
Right, because Chris Hemsworth is the rock star. I guess we missed the part that
we had established. The movie had established his character, and he like saved the world in Paris.
Chris Hemsworth and Liam Neeson.
Yeah, they saved the world in Paris 3 years earlier, and now he's just like this devil may care, arrogant. And I'm like, do audiences still really buy this bullshit?
I mean,
first of all,
have you seen Archer? That's who she reminded me of. Archer from Archer.
Okay.
The FX series.
So then you're telling me that audiences do still buy this shit.
I guess so. I still buy the Archer character.
Why can't we see a woman like this? Why does a woman always got to be like
Look,
the one who's more
I don't disagree with you. I agree. We should, like, if they had, actually, that probably would have been a more entertaining movie to see Tessa Thompson in that role.
Yeah.
And
then
seeing
him.
Chris Hemsworth try to play the straight man.
Because that's all he fucking does.
Especially on Thor. You're 100% correct on that.
So it was just like snore. I've seen this whole like thing before, like the two people becoming partners and they're yin and yang and just, oh, freaking snore. So
she also looks kind of crushing on him a little.
Yeah. Well, she, yeah.
Right from the get go, like, she, you know, they had the scene where he's just walking by. He's giving like the finger points to like,
yeah,
all
and
the
one alien like slows down time
right,
to watch him
so,
do it.
So, and we see Chris, I mean, Chris Hemsworth is fine. He's great body. I don't like his face. I think, you know, I don't like any of the lean.
What about his personality?
What's his personality?
Exactly, he has no personality. That's why I could give a shit about him.
Oh, no, about the actor. I don't know about the character. The character was kind of like annoying.
Yeah, so he's just the classic arrogant, devil may care, whatever guy. And then this like scum guy, fungus or something, or fungus.
Rungus. I don't remember. But some bad CGI character.
Some bad CGI character.
Was a diplomat? He's like a son of the royal family or something for that. Alien species,
yeah, something like that.
And like he's here to like deliver another MacGuffin.
He gives us the MacGuffin of the movie, and he also plants in the seed where when he touches the Chris Hemsworth character Agent H, he's like, "You've changed," right? Yes. So like they hint at like something since they've saved the world in Paris in 2016, some shit has gone down and something's up.
I thought the twist was that. Well, I guess it wouldn't be a twist, but I thought they were implying that he was going to be a bad guy.
Yeah, so...
I think what it made the movie more interesting...
I immediately knew that either someone was off. It was Chris Hemsworth or Liam Neeson.
Again,
and then you know after a while it's not Chris Hemsworth. Because he's going to come back for the sequel, which they obviously want to make.
I don't think there'll be a sequel. I don't know how this movie has performed so far, but...
Hey, Tomb Raider is getting a sequel.
Yes, Tomb Raider is getting a sequel.
Like, nowadays, everything is getting a sequel. They just put too much money into
it. I guess it all depends on how it performs. Internationally, hence name. Men in Black International.
But so they're in London, you know. Also, did you notice how like there's like this super like coy thing to get into the club when you go down, but then like they just drag him out on the streets of London and guide him into the car because he's too drunk?
Oh, actually, that's so funny. I noticed it. I didn't put that much thought into it.
Yeah, well, neither did the screenwriters. Just because it's like you spend so much time with neuralizers and people watching, and then you just drug it, like take out this drugged alien into the streets of London and put him in a cab. Like, okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's just like little shit like that where it's like, at the end of the day, they're minute and I shouldn't care. But at the same time, the movie is clearly not paying attention to it that I notice it.
I think the problem is when the movie's just not good, you pick up more so on like the little minute thing.
I'm like looking for things to pick at. Other than the fact that it's weird.
Every time we go to the movies together and you're looking at a new movie, you tend to. That's just your MO.
Of course.
However, I think because this movie was kind of not good, they become accentuated.
Yeah, I thought it was just a showy movie, you know, it was like, let's let them travel the world and do things that, like, look really cool.
Yeah, a lot of cool set pieces, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, all right, and?
Yeah, so what we said about the original film is that it was kind of, like, also more focused on things that were, like, more physical. So gross humor and, like, more body humor. And this was so caught up in the CGI of it that it eliminated all of that.
Yes.
There was essentially nothing gross about it. but it was very showy.
Yeah, it's all about like the shiny guns and like the big explosions.
Yeah, so it's all about the cool part of it.
Right, where the original Men in Black was, again, yeah, gross humor for sure. But I think they tried to blend the violence of the movie with comedy. Right? For example, one of the scenes that comes to mind is when Will Smith uses that little tiny baby gun for the first time, and he realizes how fucking powerful it is. So he, what happens? He shoots, and then he gets blown like a block away, basically.
Yeah.
And it's a funny, it's funny because it's just like this little tiny gun packs such a punch. Here, none of that humor is alive. And I think also the other thing I realized as I was watching the movie right from the very beginning was the Men in Black act differently now than they did in the original one. In the original one, they were always very cool, calm, collected. Yeah. They don't have guns drawn immediately. What was the first thing that Chris Hemsworth and Liam Neeson did when they were going up the Eiffel Tower?
They took out their fucking guns.
It's just like, yeah, that's not really covert. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. So, and the first line is like, God, I hate Paris. And it's just like, this is weird.
Americans can relate, I think.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Also, the Men in Black just like show up anywhere and start terrorizing shit, whether it's Marrakesh or London at night. It's like they don't care about neuralizing everyone.
No, yeah, they're fucking terrorists at this point.
Yeah.
The Men in Black have certainly lost
their
way.
They're out of control. Yeah. So this one has Tessa Thompson as the main character, and she's a young, ambitious girl who rose the ranks, and she proved herself essentially in a world of men in black. There's even like this moment where Emma Thompson's like, you're now a Men in Black. And she's like, men in black? She's like, don't get me started. They all like give me hell every time I try and talk about it. So we just leave it be.
Right.
Right. So it's just like very much a man's world that she's making a name for herself. Mm-hmm. And obviously this movie came out in 2019. So, and she's a POC. So the representation, it hits all the marks. But do you think that that was enough to save the movie? Like, just because it's like pandering to it?
I don't know if it's, no. I wouldn't call her casting pandering. I think her casting was smart. Because
of Chris Hemsworth?
Because Chris Hemsworth and Tessa, we had seen, 2 years ago, mm-hmm. how great their chemistry is. It's just like, I think the writing was just not good enough for them to be able to do a lot of that back and forth that was so great in Thor Ragnarok. With that said, I don't think her casting was because she was a person of color and that she is, I'm assuming, black? I don't know.
I would assume.
I think she might be English, though.
Okay.
So. I could be making that up. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Well, she could still be English and black.
So she is English doing an American accent. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Good for her. What was the question?
Pandering.
I don't think. Her. No, right. I don't think it was pandering.
Just because when they casted Chris Hemsworth against her, it wasn't. But still, at the end of the day, like, this Men in Black revival did have a POC woman at the center who is like surviving in a world of men. They went with that angle regardless of who they casted in it, and then they just so happened to cast someone she has proven chemistry with.
I don't know if she was like, I don't think it was, the movie itself doesn't focus on her trying to bring down the patriarchy of the Men in Black, though.
No,
she's just like, and I don't think the, but, and I don't think so she never experienced any sexism in the Men in Black.
No, she didn't.
Right, like there was never a sexism in Men in Black, right? And we know this because in the very very first Men in Black, V becomes an agent at the end, right?
Yes.
And we hadn't seen a woman at that point in the Men in Black, like, as the extras, right? So she was, like, not that I'm saying she was the first female black in Men in Black, but, like, you know, as far as we see on screen, first one we saw on screen who was a female.
It's just a trend because, like, we've been doing so many of these podcasts, and most of the time when these things get revived, there's now, it seems, a woman or women at the head of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I just think that I like the fact that she doesn't experience any sexism. I think that if we're going to normalize of relationships between men and women, then we should display movies where that's not a problem and everyone's just like working together. Even though she's surrounded by just men, it's still fine that as the only woman, nobody kind of sexualizes her. But at the end of the day too, like,
yeah, Chris Hemsworth is one that ends up getting sexualized.
Like, other than I applaud if they're trying to normalize it, but I don't think they are. I think they were hopping on this new bandwagon of putting women at the center of like revivals and whatnot, but then it didn't really explore it. So then why do it? So that's like, I'm kind of in between.
Because Tessa Thompson is great.
I didn't know you were such a Tessa Thompson fan.
I love her so much in Thor Ragnarok. I don't know what else she's in. She reminds me also of the girl from Revenge.
You thought her name was Tesla, by the way.
I just think she's so great. Her name was, you know, I just remember her from Thor Ragnarok.
Because at the end of the day, this movie wasn't needed. Like, I'm going to go ahead and already answer that question. Was this movie needed? And no, it wasn't. I think Men in Black as a franchise is going to is still very embedded in our pop culture, and that you probably would, we won't forget it 10 years from now. A lot of it was just like, why did you choose to do it like that? And why? And then, like, I can't even answer it. And I don't think they did it. And I think this movie was just made to be made.
I think I agree with you. I think it was most certainly made. Like, it must have been the studio, Sony, running out, like, time clicking on, like, the rights for the Men in Black, and they had to get a movie out. So
true. It
they
could be that.
Theoretically, packing it with Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson should have worked. Liam Neeson as, like, your obvious bad guy right from the get-go should have worked.
Oh, God. And, like, his delivery of the, like, terrible writing was just also so awkward.
Well, he tends to be pretty awkward. He tends to deliver lines a little hammy.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just like, oh, I see why you were casted in this.
And the over-reliance of, like, even, like... So, for example, I think one of my biggest drawbacks with this film was the little alien thing.
The Pawnee?
Pawnee, right? Mm. Voiced by
Kunal.
Yes, thank you. And it was just like, why? Mm. Why? I don't need it. I had just seen these movies. I saw these two movies back to back, right? I woke up early to watch Men in Black, and now comparing it immediately to this one is just like just jarring, because Men in Black has a lot of these cutesy characters, right? Those little aliens that like are tiny and like all crooked and whatnot. Funny. Who were the other ones? The pug?
Mm-hmm.
The talking pug, great. It's, you know, like, these are, I could use them sporadically to turn one of those into like a character, like the sequels try to do, making the pug like Jay's like bestie and like on his adventure in the sequel was also like a bad choice, for example.
Yeah,
same thing happens with this one, having this little creature who hails Tessa as his queen because he lost his queen. It was dumb, and it doesn't do anything for the movie, I think.
Other than, like, use it as a reason that she gets saved.
Yeah,
the
only thing I could think of is just, like, marketing for toys. But, like, I don't think anyone cares for that fucking character.
True.
As a toy. Like, no. The toy that I would want is that first creature that we saw at the very beginning. Yeah. He looked like Stitch from Lilo and Stitch.
Do you think this movie was needed?
I don't think this movie was needed at all. Yeah. I was actually so sad at, like, how... I went into this movie open-minded.
Yeah.
Expecting it. It's just like, it'll be fine. It's not going to be... terrible, and it's just like, oh, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, he walked out at one point. I'm like, wow, he really hates
it. I did. I walked out to use a bathroom, but that's, you know what?
It made you feel like I can get up
and leave and not like,
and that's
like
never a good thing.
No, you're right. It's not, because, oh, okay. So, for example, I saw Godzilla yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and I saw the first one with King of the Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
I had saw the first one with Bryan Cranston in it. And this, for Godzilla, I had to use a bathroom. I did not. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was complaining to you about the movie, right? I don't think it was a good movie. It was fine. But I held it for the movie.
Yeah.
Did not do that for this one.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is, I think, one of the first, like, really unnecessary remakes that we can both agree on.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think this was overall just like, no.
I think, but why do you think, what do you think wasn't needed?
Because it had no heart or soul to it.
Agreed. Yeah.
There were just so many like line deliveries that were like, and now's where the audience laughs, and the audience was silent.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like rushed.
Yes.
You know, the editing, the pacing of it.
Oh, the editing was actually pretty noticeably bad.
Yeah, the editing was bad.
I remember the scene, for example, when they use a car. Like, mm-hmm. It was like five cuts to see the car like leave the garage. Yeah. It's just like, all right, you're just showing the car off.
There was
at this point.
A very simple scene where one agent was talking to Liam Neeson, and they were cutting from the wide to the close up to the medium, mm-hmm. for like every line.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I don't judge you, cut. I judge your personality. And like some stupid shit. And I'm like, why is there so much cuts?
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, it just felt like formulaic to the mask. Max, because even Hollywood films can be formulaic, like a Pixar film. Finding Nemo, for example, is a very formulaic film that works.
Yes.
And even if it's a formula, because it's done well. I don't think this was done well.
Nope.
Agreed. At the end of it, we see who directed it, and it was some guy named F. Gary Gray. Who the hell is that?
Never heard of him. He's going to win an Oscar in like 10 years.
Yeah.
He's going to listen to this podcast and be like, fuck those people from Remix People with some Revival.
And he's going
to
mention
the passion
us.
I needed to become the world's greatest director. because right now he's most certainly not.
Yeah. But I think, like, if you're going to revive a film that at the end of it was just like a film that was meant to be a blockbuster and meant to be a popcorn movie, then, like, you can't just do it for those reasons, because then you're just, I think you're going to fall flat. Like, you have to have some heart and soul into it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you. I think, I will say this, though. I kind of went into the movie expecting almost like a beat-by-beat remake of The Men in Black with, like, new characters. And, like, you know how, like, that has been the what we see. Like, Force Awakens was almost like a beat-by-beat remake of the original Star Wars.
Yeah.
What's the other one that we...
The Hustle?
The Hustle. Yeah. Well, no, but that's like a remake.
Or like Mary Poppins was Mary very Poppins, much, yeah.
That's the other one that I would say, like, was almost like beat by beat, very similar to like its original
kind of. A mirror reflection.
I thought this one would be similar to that, where they went a whole different route. Original story, original kind of conflict.
Yeah, this went more in like the globe-trotting action film that just really wants to show you really cool locations and people on yachts and people riding cool machines and shooting really cool guns. Right. Like, it just was... caught up in that.
But I'll give that movie credit for that, for not doing that kind of mirror reflection of like the original.
That's
source.
Really sweet of you.
That's it. I'm not saying I tend to, I don't know, there hasn't been that many examples, but like the examples I've seen so far, like, they can be a little boring.
Yeah.
Where this one at least was like original, so I had no idea necessarily where the story was going.
Yeah.
And that's fine with me when I'm watching a film to not know where it's going.
Yeah.
Mary Poppins, on that one hand, even though I enjoyed that film, I knew where it was gonna go.
Yeah.
Do you think seeing Will Smith in any capacity would have made the movie better? Or even...
I was anticipating it, and I was kind of like, huh, it didn't happen.
Yeah, no,
it doesn't even feel like a Men in Black movie.
I agree.
Yeah. He's just kind of... I mean, the song. Guys, the song. You know, he's like, we are the Men in Black.
Maybe that's why he didn't come back. They didn't let him do a song.
Maybe.
Because he had a song for the sequel.
Oh, did he?
Uh-huh.
I don't remember that.
It's with Taina from Taina.
Oh, of Taina fame. Yeah.
Yes. Some Nickelodeon. Oh, wait. No. Was it Christina Milian? Oh, fuck. I might be mistaken. Maybe it was Christina Milian. I know that Taina and Will Smith did a song together, but I think that was like a New Year's song.
Okay.
All right. Whatever. The point is, there was a sequel. The sequel did have a song.
Okay.
I don't think The Men in Black 3 did.
I don't think so either.
No.
So I think, guys, you could skip this one.
No, most certainly. So no, but we can't tell them to skip this one. They won't listen.
Well, you should listen to our episode and consider it seen.
Well, fair. If you've seen the trailer, you've actually seen most of the movie.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's like the trailer wants you to know that this movie's terrible, so it's telling you everything you need to know, so you don't have to see it.
For sure. For sure.
All right, cool.
Do we do a lightning round?
I guess.
We can do a lightning round.
Sure.
Go.
Lightning round.
Agent, it'd be what? It'd be Tommy Lee Jones versus Chris Hemsworth.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones, yeah, all the way.
Yeah.
Well, Tommy Lee Jones was sassier. He was... He plays straight man. Well, Chris Hemsworth was playing the straight man.
So I see. That's
but it was just like the character, Tommy Lee Jones' character was way more fleshed out.
He was. He's a better actor.
For sure.
He's not something to look at, but he's a good actor.
You know what? I'd rather take the good acting over something to look at.
I would too.
Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Will Smith versus...
Tessa.
Tessa.
I like Tessa.
I liked her too.
But Will Smith.
He's just, you know,
just like the performance overall. Like,
he
like,
is a men. Yeah, it's just.
Yeah.
It's
when I think of Men in Black, I'm going to think of Will Smith.
Yeah, exactly.
Not Tessa.
Yeah, sorry. You're cool though. I like you.
Rip Torn.
Okay.
Versus Liam Neeson.
Rip Torn.
Yeah, Rip Torn all the way.
Rip Torn.
Rip Torn versus Emma Thompson.
Ooh, I like Emma Thompson. I liked her.
I like her too. I actually would watch a movie with Emma Thompson.
Yeah,
that would have been a much better movie.
Much better.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll be in the sequel. I still go with Rip Torn.
I actually might go with Emma Thompson.
All right. I can
take it. I think if I had to put Rip Torn versus Emma Thompson, I think Emma Thompson was kind of a little more fascinating.
Okay.
Even the few times we saw her, like, you know, Rip Torn was just...
That white hair was everything.
Yeah, yeah. She
yes,
she,
mama.
Now, I'm going to give you this one for the lightning round. Chemistry between characters. K and J and H and M. I just realized. H and M.
H and M. I guess I'll have to do... I can appreciate H&M for being a buddy film between different sexes.
Uh-huh.
If they brought up sex, I would have hated it.
Oh, that's so interesting because we didn't talk about that.
Like the fact
hang on.
So she might like him?
She definitely likes him. She definitely wants the D. And that's where I think this movie also flaws for me, that she kind of did want the D. And it's just like, I don't want to see Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth hook up, because you know what? Their platonic relationship from Thor Ragnarok is what made Thor Ragnarok so good. The fact that they're trying to like kind of throw them together, like to be maybe possibly will they won't they Sam and Diane.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling that.
Yeah, I really, really would prefer it if they didn't and they just remained platonic, and like the movie kind of went that route. But now that you're saying it, yeah, they were hinting at the fact that
especially the ending.
Oh, so stupid. I thought they were just buddies and they wanted to continue on missions together.
Yeah.
That's how I look at you after we stop recording, yeah, you know?
If that.
And we're like opposite sexes, so it can be platonic, guys. I mean, we're both gay, but
that's a little different.
That is a little different. But I like buddy movies, you know? Mm. And they're always men, unfortunately, other than Thelma and Louise, even though they kissed at the end, but still.
Was it a lesbian kiss?
That's up for debate. Hmm. I don't think it was.
Yeah, I didn't think it was either.
I didn't think it was. I just thought it was real love-based.
Right.
Which can be platonic.
Mm, sure.
So anyway, I don't know.
I don't kiss my platonic friends, though, but...
Really?
I guess if I'm about to die.
Yeah. Yes, if you're about to commit suicide, might as well kiss each other. But yeah, so H&M, if they went more platonic, I would have appreciated that. But because I guess they didn't, I'm going to go with Tommy Lee Jones.
And Will Smith.
K and J.
Yeah, I'm going to go with J and K for sure, because yeah. JK.
JK. Go to H&M.
I can't believe we didn't realize this. JK wasn't a thing back then, though.
Yeah. But H&M was
a thing. H&M was a thing, yeah. I remember the H&M sign on the New York
skyline. I think H&M was intentional. JK wasn't.
H&M. You think that was intentional?
Yeah.
High T. What do you feel about the name High T?
It reminded me of like a hip hop name, you know.
High tea is stupid because they're in Britain.
Yeah.
And it's like high tea time.
Like high tea.
It's just like, it was dumb.
Yeah.
I didn't need that.
Like the movie was dumb.
The movie itself was kind of just like, it was just not good.
Nope.
We planned this movie last minute. I didn't think this movie would be as bad as it was. But I'm glad it was, because you know, sometimes I feel like I have to be reminded. It's just like, you know what? We're doing this podcast because even though I'm giving everything like the benefit of the doubt, sometimes they don't deserve it.
And that's true, guys. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more interesting too if we like tell about the movie's flaws and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like, this is a movie that is just filled with flaws.
And like, not much to redeem.
It just proves me right. Yeah, unfortunately.
No, this one proves
me
right.
I like it when movies prove me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. All right. So
that's that.
That is that.
Do you want to be neuralized and not remember this movie?
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, I agree.
That I had to drag my ass out really early in the morning and see it. I literally texted Rolando. I'm like, do I really have to drag my ass out and watch this? And he was like, same.
Unfortunately, yeah, we should have just watched a trailer.
Yeah.
And then just watched someone give me like a very detailed synopsis of the film.
Yeah, we would have been spark fine. Notes. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's that.
That's that. Right. So if you actually liked this movie and think we're being highly unfair, you can complain to us at our Instagram. Message us. DM us at Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals. Or is it just Remakes, Reboots, or Revivals?
I think our actual handle is Remakes, Reboots, Revivals.
Remakes, Reboots, Revivals.
If they search for us, it'll show up. So.
Yes. At Facebook, Remakes, Reboots, Revivals. And Gmail, Remakes, Reboots, Revivals at gmail.com. Yeah. So let us know your thoughts. We think your thoughts are wonderful and we want you to share them. So on that note, guys...
Stay unoriginal.